In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Alright. And two people just stopped by, must have seen this in their news feed. James Loco over there and Pamela Loco over there just stopped by the Facebook Live. And we're going to hop right into this one. Typically, we do the some headlines, some news and comment first before getting to one like this. But I want to go ahead and jump out in the front of this one with this Tariq Nasheed.
Oh, Lord.
Rewrite, ma'am.
Yes.
Ma'am.
Sir.
Tariq Nasheed. All right. Being brilliant.
Yeah, let's pretend that's what's happening.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
Tariq Nasheed, rewriting Martin Luther King's history to make his point. Now, I'm going to preface this with this. I don't think he even fucking knows, actually. Because he's an old pimp. He's a fast-talking street nigga.
Right.
That he just riffs. Like, he fucking reads the room and says what he thinks they want to hear.
Right.
That's Tariq. But when you do that, you end up saying shit that's fucking weird. All right?
And I mean also because he's a conservative, too. Conservatives tend to say weird things.
Yeah. Like, and he's not like an NWA conservative.
It's a chance to do good for us boys in the hood. Just call us NWA, neighbors with appetizers.
Yeah, he's not a neighbor with appetizers.
No, he's not.
These are the facts, all right? And I don't have a lot of patience with this guy.
I'll give you until I finish my cuppa, and I'm fucking thirsty.
All right. So, and actually, I hate when we have to do this because we got to cover Tariq Nasheed's shit. And he plays music under the background of his shit, which means I got to turn down my shit. All right, so let's hop right into it. The length of the clip we're playing, about 5 minutes from the program of his program, Tariq Elite Radio.
Yes.
And but of course we stop and talk, so this could be a 15-minute or so segment.
Yes. And also, just as a reminder, putting this out there because someone will remind us now that it's being recorded, we need to do a segment about nigger fishing. Apparently.
Yeah, nigger fishing?
Yeah.
That's the best kind of fishing.
That's a thing that's happening.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, apparently there's a bunch of, like, white girls on social media who are pretending to be black. And not, like, the digital blackface, like, as a strong black woman, you know. No, like, literally, like, doing makeup, trying to appear racially ambiguous and pass for black. It's a little fucking weird.
It's nigger fishing.
It is nigger fishing.
Oh, yeah,
apparently.
Man.
I learned a new term yesterday.
Now, you know how niggers like to dress up real nice and whatnot, put on their good garments and all that. And on some level, that makes it kind of like fly fishing. You understand what I'm talking about?
They didn't really look fly.
You're trying to tell me that white women don't look fly?
Yes.
When they go nigger fishing?
Correct.
They have on Helly Hansen jackets.
Yes.
What?
Which actually might be I might share the tweet. But one of these young women said, "I'm red bone," and somebody said, "You're white. You're just the bone."
See, that's reverse racifying.
Yeah, well, you know, go tell X-Rated about it. I'm sure he'll, I don't know, write a diss track or something.
X-Rated?
Hmm?
I might fuck around and battle that nigga. That nigga gonna tell me reverse racism is still racism. Nigga, I bought your whack. Your albums ain't whack. X-Rated's
wasn't
dope.
Whack. It wasn't
and
whack.
He's dope, but nigga, that was some corny shit to say. Maybe battle X-Rated Loc. Fresh out the pen. First thing you're going to do is step out and lose a battle to the Alec, nigga. get hurt. All right, it is way off what the topic is supposed to be. All right, so this Tariq Nasheed business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's riffing about the Roland Martin character from the News One media. And Roland Martin, he's pretty much a partisan hack type nigga. He's basic. And and he dissed Tariq a couple of times. Tariq Nasheed overblows it. Like, he talking about me for 48 hours. He's kind of talking about everybody black that said don't vote. All right, here we go.
That's number one. And that's simple. Don't be scared.
Oh, yeah. He's laying out his black agenda. And I had mentioned this before in a very recent episode where I was like, they don't actually really have an agenda. They just want respectability politics. Mm-hmm. And they think that's going to save the day and for white people to stop being mean. Right. And that's it. But now, Tariq's laying out an agenda.
Okay. The black agenda.
But Glenn not Ford. Nearly. Yeah. No, no. Not nearly as good as Glenn Ford and Nellie Bailey.
Descendants of slaves. We need money allocated to start businesses because of the disenfranchisement in the economic sector for black people.
Not how much money, nothing about zoning.
That was another thing, too. I was thinking about that. Like, you say allocate money for businesses, but a lot of businesses still wouldn't allow to be in business because, like, now I think we covered the story. I think it was like Tennessee or some shit. They were fining women who were doing hair braiding because they didn't have a cosmetology license. So, like, is this paying for niggas to go to school to get a license so they can open up a hair braiding business?
It's just allocating, man. We're just allocating.
Like, does it include the zoning to have the properties built?
See, but he's thinking like a pimp. Just give me the money and trust me to do the right thing with it. He's just thinking like what he actually is.
That's been historic. Going all the way back to the Constitution, black people who are native to this land, native black Americans, we have a constitutional relationship with this country.
All right, I don't know if you knew that.
That sense doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't have to. He used a multisyllabic term.
Okay, so wait, did he buy into the whole, like, black people were here before native people, or black people are native people, even though we don't look alike?
So we know about what some niggas that came over here, however the fuck they did, and they were, like, in the area that's now, like, the Carolinas. Yeah. Like, one or two tribes.
Right.
But Tariq's one of them niggas that's like, we were all over this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Really? Up in the area we call Washington State? Niggas, get the fuck out of here.
And that's why Inuit people look black. Fuck.
Inuit? That's not even continental, is it?
No.
Yeah, fuck it. He probably doesn't know that word, though. If you say Inuit, he's gonna be like, hell yeah, I'm into it.
It's so fun. Like what? Like that's why fucking Aztecs look like black people?
Yeah. Remember we recently said why I got turned away from the polls in 2004.
Yes.
I'm an Aztec warrior.
You are an Aztec warrior.
And who's that? Somebody, that's Marky Perks. Marky Perkins in the joint said Tariq is just, I understand that one. That's why I do the work of playing the whole episode so you can just experience the clip.
We've been mentioned in the Constitution, the first Constitution, so that's one thing.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't us. It was actual Native people, not black people.
And talking about the 3/5, he's not talking about that? No, that was Declaration of Independence?
No, he's talking about some, like, fucking the Continental Congress before they had the approved Constitution did some shit, and they're like, this is what them niggas who, like, the first president was actually a black man for, like, God. 2 weeks, and they had a, you know, that fucking shit. Because history
he was a Moor.
History is stupid, B.
And I gotta tell you, I don't get, like, that nigga Michael Imhotep, the one that you said you don't like, you don't think he's a real Hotep because he's anti-patriarchy and uses facts. But there is, around his facts, he has that silly-ass belief that if everybody knows about the Moors, then we'll just like each ourselves better and we won't let people treat us a certain way. Like, he has a whole thing where he has a spiel he does multiple times every episode. It's something like, what you know about yourself is what you think about yourself is what you've been taught about yourself. And what you think about yourself is how you're going to let people treat you. And, like, and he thinks that if everybody just knows about the Moors, then all of a sudden, Tamir Rice won't let the police treat him that way anymore.
Moors do more things in 3 seconds than black people.
Shit, Moors were the original Negro bedwinches, if your hoteps want to get down to it.
Bed bucks.
Bed bucks?
Bed bucks.
they were winching with the white womans.
Bed bucks.
Bed bucks?
Yes.
Don't let the bed bucks bite.
Yeah, you probably should not do that.
No, don't let the bed bucks bite your fucking style and fuck it all up. Mm. All right, Tariq continues.
We can say we need finances allocated to Black Americans, not minorities. And that's another thing. Black folks get scared when it comes to asking for some shit that you're supposed to get anyway. You're a taxpayer. When it comes to us getting shit, we start getting nervous and scared. Scared money don't make money.
See, that again, that's that pimp talk.
Shit, scared money don't make money. That's some pimp shit.
He just said something just for the sake of saying it. Scared money don't get... What the fuck? How the fuck does... It insists upon itself.
We start trying to dilute it ourselves by bringing in all these other people. Can we get some for the black and brown? Who the fuck is brown?
Me. I'm actually brown.
You are brown.
Phoenix Kalita's lighter brown.
Yes.
The beige menace.
I am a beige menace.
Yeah. There are some people who heard some old podcasts that are like, you can't say that. Yes, I can. The fuck Elon gonna do?
people on Twitter were asking for that podcast episode.
Oh, the Buck Dancing Manifesto?
Yes.
Oh, shit. They don't know how to search?
No.
You know what? It's cool, Twitter niggas. See, the Facebook niggas coming to save you. Okay?
Dark-skinned niggas really think they some.
Niggas think they special because you got fucking 280 characters now. All right.
Yes.
Who is brown? Who's classified as brown? Fuck all that. We always try to, on a subconscious level, we're trying to dilute it. No, we need...
And I like how he goes with a we. And by we, you know, like talking to his target audience, he's saying you and other people that are not as woke as you, but because you're tuned in, mm-hmm. you're waking up to it now,
right.
while they're outside of us and they don't know.
Typical cult shit.
Yeah.
Special people. I have the special information for the special people.
Well, with Tariq, is it a cult or a stable? I mean, you can look up
there's
there.
There's a lot of men in it, so...
Hey.
I guess if it was a stable, it would be a very moist stable, according to Tariq.
I heard some old pimp, ironically also named Tariq, said, put a wig on a pig and throw it on the corner. So it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Allocated resources for black people to start black businesses in these neighborhoods that have been disenfranchised. That's number one.
But what types of businesses, right? Like the rapper Crooked Eye, he mm-hmm. had a shot where he can rent rims.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need rims.
Don't need rims.
This podcast is a very small business.
Yeah.
You know, we literally fucking, we rush home eating food in the car, fucking to clock on and do the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think people actually need the podcast, though.
No, they don't need it. But then even still, other things like, you know, if it's a grocery store, how are you going to get the building? Are you going to buy the building? Do you rent the building? You know,
thinking about health inspectors?
Right, that's what I'm like, because, like, are you, like, qualified to have a... You can't just open a butcher shop, right? Like, even if you own the property and you know how to butcher shit, you can't just butcher shit and just, like, sell it. Like, you'll get fucking shut down. That's a health code violation. It's like, you can't just say, just give people money and they'll open businesses. Like, there's a lot of fucking, for better or worse, there's a lot of fucking regulations that you have to get through to be qualified. You have to have your licenses. You have to have your fucking shit inspected. You have to have your shit, like, you know, be, like, accessible for disabled people. You know what I mean? Like,
Oof.
You have to have, like, yeah. certain hours that you can do. Like, you can't sell alcohol 24/7. Like, there's all these fucking rules. He's like, oh, just give them money. It's going to fix it. Like, you can't just throw money at a problem. You have to have a very specific plan.
Well, now, hold on. The ableism accessible thing, there's a little more leeway with that because after all the people who are vote shaming you now didn't show up in 2010,
mm-hmm.
a certain Congress mm-hmm. put up a certain vote. Mm-hmm. I think it was to try to make it like an international standard.
Mm.
And there was an old Congress critter that was in a wheelchair that couldn't get up the steps to go in the House and was asking them, like, please vote for this. And they just walked past him and voted no on it. And remember, that Tea Party wave got in because the person vote shaming today didn't vote then. I was there, and it was just me and a bunch of old-ass white people.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder how they won.
I don't know.
All you little mark ass niggas. And a lot of y'all, my fellow millennials, you failed fellow millennials.
Mm.
Them Gen Xers love Obama. He's one of them. They ran out there.
They did.
All right. Off topic. Jews.
And that's simple. Don't be scared. Another thing we need to campaign for as black people, we need allocated land.
Which land?
You know they're going to give us some shit that got fucked up by fracking and has fucking lead in it, right?
Shit, what if they just let you stay where you are right now? You're like, this here's your land.
So they're going to give us some shit that's fucked up from fracking and has lead in it. Like I said.
Like this allocated land. Like, it could get specific. It's like he's almost onto something, but because he's a pimp, he's just saying what'll get the dollar.
Yeah, it's just the talking points. You don't have to have details. You just have to have talking points.
Yep, and a strong masculine presence when you speak.
That helps.
Sounds serious.
Yes.
Can't have a high-pitched voice like William. I mean, he sounds goofy. And a little silly. All right.
That ain't far-fetched. Hey, we've been gentrified, Jim Crowed, disenfranchised, redlined. We've been attacked by the government.
He didn't put any kind of timeline on that shit.
No.
Nigga said gentrified, Jim Crowed, redlined, disenfranchised.
That's chronological order. That's exactly the order in which they
gentrification came first.
They came to
Africa Crowed. And said, you know what? This is a pretty nice neighborhood you got there.
That's exactly what happened.
Government as far as where we live and our land ownership. For decades in this country, we need land grants.
Just decades.
Yeah, just decades.
I don't know if you did. Just since 1954, you know. Before 1954, it was good because there was no feminists breaking up the black family.
Right.
Just like the Native Americans get land grants.
Because it's their fucking land! What the hell, man?
I think we got some good decibels on that one. That's nice audio.
How the fuck you be like, why are they giving the Native Americans the land that they had before anybody fucking else got here?
And also the most awesomest land.
Oh, yeah, the one that has the pipeline that breaks every 3 weeks in it. It's amazing. Who doesn't want to live there?
Yeah, they're getting free oil, nigga. They can sell that shit. Business. Didn't he say businesses?
It's investing back into the community.
Yeah, see? How about you wake up? Sheewillikers.
Like, white immigrants got land grants when they came over here in the 1800s.
Did you know that? The Irish got land grants when they came over here.
Well, I mean, not necessarily the Irish, but you know.
Come down here, O'Flaherty. We're going to give you all this fucking land. I don't know. I put the Irish accent on the wrong person. Yeah, I did.
O'Flaherty?
No, the character I was doing was the American.
Oh,
yeah. That's incorrectified.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, you know what? Tariq Nasheed says it doesn't have to make sense.
It doesn't have to make sense. I mean, they did have land. Well, that fucking Homestead Act, but that wasn't like...
That was in the 1800s. Early in the 1800s.
Early in the 1800s?
Wait, let's dance it back. Let's get specific. You don't want to take Tariq Nasheed out of context. It won't make any sense.
Allocated land. That ain't far-fetched. Hey, we've been gentrified, Jim Crowed, disenfranchised, redlined.
Okay.
We've been attacked by the government as far as where we live and our land ownership.
Yeah.
For decades in this country.
Just decades.
We need land grants just like the Native Americans get land grants. Just like white immigrants got land grants when they came over here in the 1800s. Many of them...
Oh, he kept it vague in the 1800s. Okay. Just a full century.
A full century of land grants.
All of them got it. The fucking Germans, all these bastards.
Uh-huh.
They had the Homestead Act that where white people can get free lots of land if they just show up and...
Wait, was that in the 40s or 50s? What was the Homestead Act?
There was like five of them.
Okay, yeah, that was... Yeah, because I'm like, when was that? And that's why I can never pinpoint it, because there was more than one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
All right.
Fill out the paperwork. So people got all types of land allotments that they still own. Black people never got that. Let's not be afraid to say we want something for black people. Those are just a couple of major things. And also, we can put things on the ballot like, hey, we need special protection for black people because we're being targeted by these white supremacist race soldiers within law enforcement. So we need to have mandatory minimums for these race soldiers who kill unarmed black people.
That's going to happen, right? That's plausible.
We need to get legal protections from police who kill us.
Yeah. When you say that, you'll be taken serious. And it'll get done because you said it.
Does he know they just passed the Blue Lives Matter bill?
He doesn't need to know that.
Does he know that Obama increased militarization of police?
Blue Lives Matter bill, splooge, splash, splatter, spill. All right.
Let's just talk about the bills that we're never, ever, ever going to get. Oh, my God. All right.
No, see, cause now you're just being afraid to say it. That's the problem, family. Mm-hmm. You dig? You're just afraid to say it.
We need to put shit like that on the ballot.
Nigga,
there's a lot of stuff we...
What that's up? So stupid. Because even if you put it on the ballot, who's going to vote for it?
Who's going to vote for it?
53% of white women.
You don't know. You don't know. I just feel like clicking something.
And we recognize mercenaries trying to pimp us out like that little bitch, Eminem, and his little wannabe thug pansies behind him who aren't real men who wouldn't take on the globalists like Donald Trump or anybody else.
That's who would vote for it.
Eminem would vote for it, yes.
And Alex Jones.
Yeah,
what up?
Alex Jones would vote for it. But no, like, seriously, like, put, okay, so it's on the ballot. It's not gonna fucking pass? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it would.
Put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
He didn't even say propose a bill. He said on the ballot.
Didn't even, which ballot? I like how you, it's just on the ballot.
It is just on the ballot.
Yeah, just sort of. Negroes need land and businesses. I vote yes.
It's a universal ballot. Everybody has the same ballot. Across county lines and state lines, everyone has the same ballot.
Yeah. City council, everything.
Yeah.
One ballot.
One ballot.
That's right. This fucking guy, man.
We can do, but those are the major ones we can just start with right there.
Uh-huh.
We can start right there, but black folks get scared. If I talk too black, everybody gonna get offended. Lord Jesus, I'm just here for everybody. We gotta cut that out. See, that's why rolling them, they don't talk like that. You never hear them talk like that because they get paid to not talk like that. They get paid to do the kumbaya, we all in this together. That's that whole untalented temp bullshit.
What? Is he saying untalented temp?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
I don't know what he's talking about right now.
Oh, he doesn't like Roland Martin.
Yeah, but he was talking about, like, they don't talk black. And I was like, sound black? But then he said they do kumbaya. I was like, so they don't act black? What?
Yeah, I think he's saying rhetorically. Mm-hmm. Like, Roland doesn't present his ideas, therefore he's just not being tough about it. You know? Yeah, I guess.
Like I said before, a lot of black leaders before the 1960s, black leadership in this country,
here goes,
but you can call it black leadership because Neely Fuller says you just got black spokespersons. But
yep, got to go back to Neely Fuller. Always. Neely Fuller and the grandcester, Wacky Welsing. Indeedly do, neighbor.
Neely full of shit.
A lot of the black spokespersons' leadership, they were very much against immigration.
You knew that?
Who said that?
Martin Luther King. He did. He stood up there and he was like, I don't know what's going on with all these Mexicans. Yeah, sure, I like the burrito truck, but I don't need those fucks. That's what he said. Martin Luther King did three-syllable rhymes. That was his thing.
He did do three-syllable.
He was the first rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration has never been a positive for black people. Never, never, never. It has never been a positive. It has never, ever, ever been a positive. It has always
been a
positive.
Because black immigrants don't exist, actually. Like, that's the important, that's the takeaway. Black immigrants don't exist.
Well, and also the Vatos, the El Loco posse, when they came up to Spanaway in Washington State, they smashed out the skinheads. It was positive for me.
No, they didn't. That didn't happen. black and brown people, who whatever brown means, have never actually gotten together to fight white supremacists ever. Like, that's actually a...
That's what, you know what, man? I'd like to take when Tariq Nasheed talks all that shit and send it to that nigga Cam, West Coast Cam, K-A-M. Because mm-hmm. he's like, I've shown you the videos where he's rhyming with the cholos and whatnot and all mm-hmm. that. And Cam has always been about that. Like, you go back on Cam's record as a hip-hop artist, mm-hmm. all the way back to the early 90s. Cam has always been on that, the black and the brown, on the same team. Even on the track where he dissed Ice Cube. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he was, you know, but Cam, not Hotep, but he's N-O-I.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's nice. Like, he's actually a good spokesperson for NOI because he's fucking nice on the mic. Cam is really dope. If you're a hip-hop head and you want to hear some nice West Coast spitting, go to K-A-M Cam. Look that dude up. He's nice. All right, here we go.
Ass. A lot of the early black leadership were completely against it, as they should. That changed in the 60s.
Wait,
in the
1960s. Leaders, I thought they were spokespeople.
Nah, they're leaders again, because he forgot that he even said that shit.
But how come he's not naming the name of a single nigga? Who said that?
Oh, he's gonna name a name.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Okay. Names will be named, mm-hmm. Miss Colored Ma'am.
60s, you had a lot of Cubans going into Miami illegally. And they were going into Miami in the 1960s, and they were taking a lot of jobs from black people down there. They were displacing black people in the job market way back in the 60s.
He has documentation of this.
Were there that many people in Miami in the 60s?
Yes.
Okay.
They were having a sexual revolution. It was pretty black.
Mm-hmm.
60s. It started in Miami with that whole, excuse me, that whole job placement shit where the Cubans were coming in.
The whole job. Didn't he make it sound like he was about to name like an official,
right,
like,
right.
like a city ordinance, just that whole job placement shit. Fuck it.
Very specific.
The pimp is off his game.
And then you had people like Dr. King.
Oh.
Instead of him doing like the other black leadership groups saying, hey, you know, we need to combat that immigration. He was on some shit like, well, they're all our brothers in the struggle. That was the death knell for black people. When Dr. King did that. When
you realize that
did he just call Dr. King a coon?
Gusty Renegade does too. Yeah, in a roundabout way. Like, all right, so folks may not know, like, this sort of batch of conservative black people against white supremacy we've riffed about before, Francis Welsing, Wacky Welsing, Neely Fuller Jr., Neely Full of It, Gus T. Renegade, which is Gus the Renegade Negro, a name that he got from the movie, what is it?
Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, Birth of a Nation from that film. Cree, counter-racist evolving engineer. She's one of those conservatives. She likes to play the feminist side at times. It's very amusing. Mm-hmm. And that whole crowd, but Gus T. Renegade in particular, like, he has this thing where he thinks that analogies, metaphors, comparisons, those are meant to confuse you, and if you use it, you're practicing white supremacy, and if you're black and you use it, it's because you're confused. And he said that if you look back, Dr. King used a lot of metaphors. So that's the way. So what he's saying is Martin Luther King was confused about racism because he used metaphors. Yeah. A lot of metaphors.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. Yeah. That seems logical.
So among this black conservative crowd, that's not surprising to hear.
Dr. King started talking about these are our brothers in the struggle. We started going downhill as black people.
Because you know how awesome it was.
It was awesome before.
Like, shit got fucked up.
Yeah, it was awesome before.
And also, you know, she's not pulling up any verbatim quotes. He's just saying he said this. These are our brothers in the struggle. Verbatim quote, I know not.
As a group, we started going downhill.
Because we were so uphill before 1960 as a people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Way up.
When Dr. King started talking about these are our brothers in the struggle, we started going downhill. As black people, as a group, we started going downhill. Dr. King was the first person to start all that integrationist talk. We all in this together. We all share the same struggle thing. That's why they propped him up. They love that.
Now, keep my... Yeah, that's where it gets interesting. So, because I get what he's talking about, but he just doesn't know what to call it. It's the Poor People's Campaign.
Yes.
They loved that. Let them keep talking. It's very short from here now. It's almost over.
They love that because they're like, oh, cool, we can dilute anything we give to the Negroes now. Since Dr. King said we all in this together and we're one big old happy melting pot. Now, Dr. King realized.
And now you notice on the side, because we're looking at his YouTube stream, the archive of it, of him. When he says that bullshit, people are donating more money.
Yep.
They're excited to hear him say that bullshit.
The mistake he made later on in life. And he started talking a little more revolutionary. He started talking about reparations towards black people because he realized he fucked up. And when he started talking about them reparations, all of a sudden he got shot down in Memphis.
That's how that happened. He first was the Poor People's Campaign. Then he talked about reparations and got shot. Do you believe that?
No, not really.
Why not?
Well, let's start with the fact that Tariq said they, whoever they is, loved his integration theories.
Yeah.
White people were about the integration with the Negroes in the 60s.
Yeah, they were like, oh man, that's miscegenation, right? That's white people, that's white genocide. And the Poor People's Campaign, 1967. And we have the information linked in the web post to this. I already made the web post, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to add the podcast and YouTube to it. So the web post on winecellarmedia.com is going to have a link to this information.
Now,
what up?
I would actually be interested to see if he had kept going, if he would have called the Panthers coons as well. Because that was Fred Hampton's big thing, is they, in Chicago, he was working with Latinos and poor white people who were all disenfranchised and all getting fucked up by police. So I would just be curious to know if the Panthers were also coons, because following this logic, the Panthers are also coons.
He probably would. And then, keep in mind now, and then, like, so the Poor People's Campaign starts in 1967, and we mm-hmm. also have this link. There are two separate links that we have in the web post for this.
Mm-hmm.
The Memphis Sanitation Workers Strike.
Yes.
You know, and this is information, I think I first heard this on, like, Democracy Now! Or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was February 12th, 1968, to April 16th, 1968. That's how long the fucking the sanitation strike was for the garbage truck drivers.
Yes.
All right. Let me run it back to that. Doobadoo, skip bop, mm-hmm. flibbity doop, bop, ba doobadoo.
Yes.
To April 16th, 1968. The day that he was murdered, April 4th, he was murdered during that strike.
Yeah.
He was murdered doing populist shit.
Also, I just wanted to point out that he was, you know, Tariq is saying that King was anti, you know, was learning at the end of his life that the segregation, you know, trying to end segregation was bad. In 1966, Martin Luther King went to a protest in Chicago in Marquette Park, which used to be a huge, like, white supremacist neighborhood. And actually, in 1966, he said Chicago was more racist than the South because he got cracked in the fucking face with a rock from a Nazi during a protest.
Well,
yeah.
Jimmy Dore says those Nazis should be able to march. It's their free speech.
Jimmy fucking Dore. So, yeah, just, you know, just timelines. So, yeah, so 2 years before he died, he was still saying Chicago was more racist than the South, and black people in Chicago were incredibly disenfranchised because they didn't have the freedom to live where they wanted to live. That was 1966.
Yeah, Tariq Nasheed making sense, saying stuff about things. All right, now we don't have much. That's why I wouldn't do that, so now we can sort of look at how much time we have left to do our actual wine cellaring.
Now I'm covered in cat hair. Thanks, Jamal.
Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant, and I only take bubble baths.
How do you feel?
I feel...
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar. Who took my glass?
All right. WineCellarMedia.com. Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar. Tomorrow, I go into the factory and I have to work with this whiny ass motherfucking dude. Bullshit!
Yes.
Oh, and you realize that ever since I found out how many vacation hours I had.
Yeah.
Like, of course, I used the 40.
Yeah.
But I gained 3 more.
Oh.
So I don't know how the fuck fast they build up or how many hours you work to get a vacation hour.
Yeah.
But that shit's kind of fast.
That is kind of fast.
Yeah. I've gained 3 vacation hours. Mm-hmm. So, there'll be another week off with some extra podcasting again.
Woo!
All right. Yeah, that's right. It's coming up pretty good right there.
Wait, I don't even know what stories we're doing.
Oh, shit and damn.
Like, I don't know if you have stories picked out or what.
Oh, man.
I had a show notes story, but I don't know if that's what we're doing.
Yeah, let's use yours.
Okay, excellent. The notorious RGB.
Told you so.
Is in the hospital.
I told you so.
She fell.
I told you.
Broke some ribs.
Told you.
It would be really shitty if she dies during this administration. And we, you know, lose another justice.
I told you she was going to die. And it's not like it's a happy thing. It's just, if I say it's gonna happen.
Nigga, you said Pat Robertson gonna die too, so can you get the fuck on that, please?
We got like fucking 60 more episodes. We're in the 700s. All right? By episode 799, I'll just stop recording to that feed. And I'll just only do YouTube clips. And just wait till he dies and then do episode 800.
Hey, it's the 700 Club!
Yeah, that's our thing. Because Pat Robertson's show is called the 700 Club. That started by him saying if a certain amount of people donate $700 a month or something like that, or if 700 people donate every month, then they could keep the show sustained, so they called it the 700 Club. And Pat Robertson's not dead yet, and he should die.
He should die.
It should just happen.
Yes.
And now, The Wine Cellar is over 700 episodes, so between 700 and 800, if you support The Wine Cellar monetarily, you're in the 700 Club.
Thank you.
Yeah. We need 700 of you.
Yes, we do.
You're damn right.
Yeah, so RBG is in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see what happens. Which is also, like, I had a feeling some shit like this was gonna happen. Not just already because she's incredibly elder, but cause remember, like, it was a couple weeks ago or maybe, like, 2 months ago, they were putting out the fucking videos like, this is how she exercises every day. And I was like, ah, something's wrong with her. That's why I've been putting this out.
Oh.
To do, like, the, you know, she's in great condition. I'm like, ah, some shit's gonna go wrong. And here we are. So she has broken ribs. It would really suck if she died because we know the Democrats are going to let whoever the fuck Trump nominates in, and SCOTUS is going to be amazing.
And your ribs are right up against really important shit.
They are. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're trying to cage him in.
Almost.
Yeah. Weird.
So there is that. Tucker Carlson is sad.
And that nigga Michael Morstein is a fucking buck dancer. Some nigga named Michael Morstein that I follow on the Facebooks, and he was a guest on Fucky Tuck's show, and he's like, I'm against that. Going to, like, if you see him in the streets and yell at him, okay, but going to his house, scaring his family and his wife, and it's like, that's what McPublicans advocate for, is for people to fuck with us at our homes.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know. So, yes, a group of angry Antifa protesters.
They're definitely Antifa?
I have not seen Antifa. Every report I've seen has seen Antifa, but I have not seen a picture of them, so I cannot identify, nor have I heard any confirmation from any black bloc that I'm aware of.
So that it's not verified that it's Antifa.
I just know that that's what is being reported, and not just by Fox News. It's not like fucking, like, New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today. They're all saying Antifa, and I'm like,
It's almost like there's some sort of
anti-Antifa?
And a uniparty of sorts.
Almost.
Where everybody hates the fucking local street level populace.
Well, isn't basically all the media owned by like 3 companies?
not really. Because I think Amazon is a 4th.
Okay. All right. So, a group of angry Antifa protesters gathered outside Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson's home Wednesday evening. The anti-fascist group, possibly associated with Smash Racism DC, chanted, "Tucker Carlson, we will fight. We know where you sleep at night." Such catchy cheers they have.
That's fucking lovely. Mm-hmm. But you can't touch the Tuck. He's too rich.
Well, also, like, he has all that money. Why the fuck doesn't he live in a gated neighborhood? Why the fuck you live somewhere where people can even surround your house?
Hubris.
I guess we know he won't survive the purge.
Huh.
In a video posted online, the group can also be heard saying, "Racist scumbag, leave town." Carlson's wife, Susie, was home alone at the time. He told Fox Police she locked herself into a pantry and called police.
Shut the fuck out of here.
The host of Tucker Carlson Tonight said the group broke his oak door, and one person mentioned a pipe bomb. "Here's the problem. I have 4 children. I never thought twice about leaving them home alone, but this reaction because this group doesn't like my TV show." Oh, you suddenly feel unsafe like everybody else in fucking America does?
I can't wait to hear fucking, specifically, I want to hear Bob Seska talk about this.
Yeah, so they have a little video here. I'm just gonna glance at it here and see. It's so dark. It's actually really hard to see if these people are masked up or not because they're wearing dark clothes, but it's also at night and there's no lighting. So I'm still gonna hold back on calling them Antifa until I have further evidence. Smash Racism DC posted Carlson's family address on a now deleted Twitter post. Twitter is amazing.
Huh.
According to the Daily Caller, Carlson told Fox that the home addresses of his brother and former college roommate who co-founded the Daily Caller were also made public. People don't like consequences or something?
All right, so nigga, right wingers dox people, been doxing people. You don't say shit about that.
No, you don't. Hey. Fucking right-wingers get together and be like, "Hey, I found this Jew. I think I'm going to go kill him." I found this gay person. You know, they don't actually say gay person. "I think I'm going to go kill him."
Yeah, it's the same thing. And, like, right with their, like, it's the people like, "Well, why is your rhetoric like this? Why, in solo, you're supposed to be good people doing good stuff." I'm not real kind of mean, but it's the same shit with when Alex Jones's things got taken down temporarily. Mm-hmm. All right, like, because I remember I couldn't find his podcast. iTunes had taken his podcast down.
Yeah,
but like a couple days later, it was back up. You know, but fucking, I'm not gonna go out there and argue for Jones to have a fucking space because free speech for everybody. Because Jones won't return the favor ever.
Not only will Jones not return the favor, but we have to realize there's a difference between, we say things that are true. Like, we might be assholes sometimes, but we do say things that are actually true. When fucking Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones, all these fucking right-wingers, like, "Oh, there's fucking MS-13 is making up most of the migrant caravan." That gets immigrants shot. Now there are fucking white people with guns at the border. Like, "We're ready to shoot MS-13. When they say this voter fraud shit, there's fucking white people sitting outside with shotguns and German shepherds outside polling places looking for the illegals who are trying to vote. When they do this shit, there are consequences to people. And it's because they're lying. Not because they're like, actually is this huge epidemic of non-documented people stealing votes at polling places, right? They're making shit up, they're using their propaganda, and people are getting hurt. So I can't really feel bad if in retaliation somebody does dox you or somebody punches you on the street. You're getting people hurt. You probably got people killed. Let's just be honest about it. Fuck you.
So really, I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
like, fuck you and fuck your family.
Fuck you and fuck your folks, nigga.
Yeah. Fuck all of you.
Fox News CEO Susan Scott and the network's president, Jay Wallace, issued a joint statement and called the incident reprehensible. Y'all only offended because it's happening to you. Where are you at with that, Dr. Blasey Ford has moved for the 4th time since she testified about Kavanaugh? 4 times.
Well, that means that she has class privilege and can move like that. I think y'all leftists need to call her out.
All right, where are y'all at with that one Sandy Hook family that's suing Alex Jones that had to move across the country multiple times? Where are y'all at with that?
We're happy for them that they get to travel. They're like John Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
John Boehner's a reefer dealer now?
Yeah, he's on the board of some reefer company. Yeah. And he said that shit too, like, "My thinking about marijuana has evolved." Everyone's fucking evolving.
That's kind of like when Obama went to that, it's like a LGBT deal and got a gang of money in 2012 and he evolved.
Evolved. Well, money makes you evolve. Megyn Kelly tweeted, "This has to stop. Who are we? Who are, what are we becoming?"
Shut up, nigger. Shut up, Blackface Kelly. Yeah, her name is nigger / Blackface Kelly. You see her, you yell nigger at her. And if you're white, it's gonna be a little awkward, but do it for the cause.
Tucker Carlson does not deserve this. His family does not deserve this. His wife is choosing to stay with a man who's getting people killed for being brown and black. Fucking, hey. You know.
Hey, and the offspring. Hey, I mean, this is a quote that I made up myself, and only I have ever said it.
Uh-huh.
When you play around with sex, the joke is on the children.
Fox News commentator Britt Hume called the incident revolting and frightening.
Britt Hume?
Oh, yeah.
Britt Hume, but Britt Hume, he said we live in a feminized atmosphere.
We do. It was high fem Antifa.
It was Femtifa. So, nigga, it wasn't nothing then, Britt Hume. Folks may wonder, where's that Britt Hume quote from? That's, that was from, Chris Christie. When Chris Christie was, doing that shut down the bridge thing. Folks may remember that from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox News, they went and did a segment. And Britt Hume was actually sitting next to a cis woman while saying that. And, like, he's going for, like, 2 minutes. And then finally, she was just, like, feminized. And then Britt, he fucking, like just looked at her from the side of his face. He didn't even turn his head. He was just like, yeah, feminized. Like, it's a wild fucking segment. You can find it. We'll say the name twice in one episode. Jimmy Dore was the one that covered it.
Yeah, so, like, I don't feel bad. Oh, I think we have comments. I don't feel bad for Tucker fucking Carlson or anybody else who's promoting these, like, fucking goofy-ass conspiracy theories, these, you know, untrue things, and is getting people hurt. People are going to respond.
Nah, the green, that's people tuning in and out.
I thought I saw a white one in there somewhere.
There was only one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole time. It was the one where the homie Loco said Tariq Nasheed is just ugh.
Exactly. I agree. All right. Yeah. Actual good news. Let's see. The number of girls undergoing female genital mutilation has dramatically fallen in East Africa over the last 2 decades. The study, which looked at the rates of FGM among girls 14 and under, suggests the prevalence has dropped from 71% in 1995 to 8% in 2016.
Huh.
The reported fall in the rates of FGM are far greater than previous studies have suggested, though some in the development community have advised caution over the figures. In February, the United Nations Population Fund warned the number of predicted to be mutilated each year could rise by 2030 as an increase driven by population growth in communities that carry out the practice. But according to the study by the BMJ, the rates of FGM practiced on children have fallen in North Africa from 57% in 1990 to 14% in 2015. In West Africa, from 73% in 1996 to 25% in 2017. The study aimed to assess if FGM awareness campaigns targeted at mothers had been successful. Unlike many other studies, older teenagers and adult women who tend to have higher rates of FGM were not included. The research developed estimates by pulling and comparing FGM data by proportion across countries and regions. So, yeah, that's actually good news, right?
Yeah, it's all right. Let's get that 8 down to 0, fuckos.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's take good news and make it perfect.
Yes.
Well, almost perfect. Because who knows what the fuck else is going on. Like, they stopped doing that. It's like, well, now we punch them in the face or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough out there for a girl.
Yes. And this is actually a follow-up because we covered the story about Motel 6 who was sharing information with police. If they thought that there was someone who was a sex worker or a undocumented person, they were just giving over their registers to police and local law enforcement.
Okay, I remember it because of the sex workers' rights aspect.
Yes, yes. So the Motel 6 chain has agreed in a proposal to pay up to $7 million to Latino guests who say the company's employees shared private information with immigration officials. A federal judge must still approve the settlement filed last week in a federal court in Arizona. The agreement between Motel 6 and guests represented the Los Angeles-based Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Niggas like these long-ass titles for their shit.
Yeah. Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education. Can you even acronym that?
Los Angeles-based Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. LAMALDEF.
Lab.
and the Springs Brook class action lawsuit filed in January. Fund President and General Counsel Thomas Sainz said Wednesday that the agreement will launch a long process allowing potential class action members to have a say in the case. Under the proposal, Motel 6 could pay a total of $8.9 million, including a reimbursement of legal fees and administrative costs. Good, you fucking deserve that. Stop being snitches, you assholes.
That's not even snitching, that's just assuming.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Like, you actually have to know something to snitch. You're just you're being Tuckers.
Yeah.
You're literally just acting like Tucker.
Yeah. We're just not gonna load. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. You don't even know what cool means, Miss Colored
Man.
I
don't actually know what cool means.
Running around, acting like you know what's black.
all right, and then this I'm just gonna go through Wednesday. Oh, right. We have to cover the story about this 10-year-old girl being charged as an adult. Yeah.
Black?
No, I don't think so. But she is a foster care kid, so, I mean, she's kind of expendable in that aspect. You know. So a 10-year-old girl in Wisconsin is charged as an adult in the connection to a death of a 6-month-old. She has been charged with first-degree homicide with intent, which is a felony. Let's see. They're not releasing her name because of her young age. Yeah. Which is the thing, right? She's getting charged as an adult, but it's not even legal to release her name because that's how young she is.
Yeah, she's an adult, but, I mean, not technically.
Like, she probably hasn't even started her period yet. And she's being charged as a fucking adult.
10 years the fuck old. But then again, you know, expendable.
Expendable. Well, I mean, what? They could put George Stinney in the electric chair when he was, like, 12?
Okay, so that was that glass ceiling that that Boyce Watkins was talking about.
That's the glass ceiling.
Now white girls can go to prison like black boys.
Yes.
I had a dream that little white girls could get in the chair like little black boys.
The defendant's mother held her daughter close as the girl went before a judge for the first time. It is a Wisconsin state law to first bring felony first-degree homicide charges to an adult court if the accused is 10 or older. So she just barely missed that mark.
Man, should have killed him last year, man.
He wasn't born last year.
Ah, fuck.
Right. By statute, this is a quote, by statute, a 10-year-old or older is required to at least start out the process in adult court, and that is why we are here today, the judge explained to the little girl and the victim's family. This is just a side note that they added in this article. In Minnesota, the minimum age to be charged as an adult is 14. Even 14, though, really? All right.
Wait, are they in Minnesota right now?
No, they're in Wisconsin.
Okay, I was about to say. So they just threw that in about Minnesota?
About Minnesota, and then apparently, holy shit, hold on. This map is so small. Okay, so in New York, Massachusetts, and Maryland, if you're 7 years old, you can be charged as an adult with a crime.
Hey.
If you're in Arizona and you're 8 years old, you can be charged as an adult. In North Carolina, if you're 6 years old, you can be charged an adult. In Minnesota, you can be 14, and in Wisconsin, you can be 10.
The South is always the worst.
Fucking 6 years old. South Carolina. What the fuck are you doing? 6 years old. That's first grade. First grade.
Shouldn't have wet the bed.
Shit.
Fuck wrong with you. Go to prison, bed wetter.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So Chippewa County Sheriff James Kowalczyk has worked on a number of cases and been in law enforcement for 40 years. He says he can't remember ever seeing charges to this extent for a child so young. This is not a good morning for Chippewa County, he said, referring to both sides of this case. All right. So the 10-year-old girl sobbed in her mother's arms as Chippewa County District Attorney Wade Newell. Wade, you're an asshole, Wade. You're an asshole, Wade.
He knows that.
She panicked and didn't know what to do and didn't want to get in trouble, he said at the girl's bond hearing on Monday. Newell says on October 30th, the girl was at her foster parents' home in Tilden, Wisconsin, 10 miles north of Chippewa Falls. Oh, fuck, I know where that is. And suddenly this so much of the story makes sense. I would be very curious now to know if she is perhaps indigenous.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I now have questions. Prosecutors allege the girl dropped a six-month-old baby boy accidentally and he hit his head. When he started crying, she panicked and then caused what prosecutors say was an intentional fatal head trauma to the baby. The foster home is also a licensed daycare. Investigators say there was one adult and three children at home at the time of the incident. Investigators took the footstool and the girl's shoes into evidence. The injuries sustained by the six-month-old boy was not an accident, according to Kowalczyk. The baby boy's family is asking for privacy. He died Thursday after fighting for 2 days at Gillette Children's Hospital in St. Paul.
Wait, I'm assuming here.
Yes.
Because you said you wonder if they're indigenous.
Yeah.
Because they made their house into a daycare.
No, I wonder if the girl is indigenous. I'm not worrying about her foster parents.
Oh, that's right. Foster.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
They bought themselves a little cheap brown girl, and now the state's taking it away.
That's entirely possible. Because actually, Chippewa Falls is where my birth mother is from.
Ah.
And, you know.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Fun things are fun.
Fun things are fun. I was like, oh, I know where this is, and there's a reason I know where it is, because... I was like, just, I'm not going to hold tangent, but just roughly, yes, my mother was also indigenous and on the record as being indigenous. And when she was actually a victim of sex trafficking, she ended up being forcibly committed as punishment for being sex trafficked from Chippewa Falls. So,
Well, the white feminists took care of that. They're all about sex trafficking victims.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
I mean, we can squeeze in one more story.
Yes. Let's see. I don't think they said... Let me just check, like, skim this real quick. I don't believe they said where the girl is staying. All they said is she can't go home to her birth parents because she's still technically a foster child. So she's still in the care of the state.
The care. I like that. They use the word care.
Oh, I have an update.
Yes.
Melissa Ancona.
What was that story?
White supremacist, white KKK lady killed her husband.
Oh, yeah, that's good times.
Yes. So this is like, what, like a two-year-old story at this fucking point? Like, it's been a minute, man. Right?
Yeah.
The story was that Melissa Ancona was accused of killing Frank Ancona, who was her husband, and they have all these, like, creepy-ass, like, pictures where they're in their little fucking KKK outfits with the dunce caps and fucking...
The dunce caps.
taking pictures with each other. So on and so forth. And she has a stepson a son from a previous marriage named Paul Jinkerson. And Paul Jinkerson was also implicated in the murder. So
I remember making fun of that name.
Jinkerson, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a name. So the stepson, accused of murdering his stepfather and self-proclaimed KKK leader, has had his trial pushed back to next year. 24-year-old Paul Jinkerson of Belgrade will go to trial May 6th next year. May 6th. They're in a hurry to get this shit wrapped up, as you can tell.
We actually have a story we're obsessed with. Yeah. And, you know, you say, like, a long time ago. It seems like everything we did in that apartment was a long time ago. Shit was only, like, 4 months ago.
It was.
Right?
It was.
But it's like, we got the fuck out of the apartment. We were just like, that was all 20 years ago.
It was 20. It was, like, forever.
Fucking apartment.
So Melissa Ancona has decided to testify against her son in the case. She is now testifying that her son shot Frank in the head with a 9mm pistol while he was sleeping. The murder took place in Ancona's home in February of 2017. The two allegedly attempted to clean the crime scene up and dumped Ancona's body in the banks of the Big River near Belgrade. You know who's going to find you? Some old man fishing. Both are charged with first-degree murder, armed criminal action, and tampering with evidence and abandonment of a corpse. Jinkerson's last chance to plea bargain before trial is April 19th of 2019. So there's your update. So it's still in the court system.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Good stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about it, huh?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's about it.
I feel bad because those are all, like, really shitty stories.
No, those were good stories.
Oh, okay.
And we're at 58 minutes. This is typically our time.
Whatever.
This is our time, man. Now's the time to say goodbye.
All right, we'll save this Florida one for next week.
All right, that's that there wine cellar. If you're checking this out on a podcast application, you can go to the YouTube.
Yeah.
And find the Black Podcast, Wine Cellar Media, and hit the subscribe button. We're at like 260 now, mm-hmm. So we're on a long fucking journey to get to 4,000.
Yes.
Because at 4,000, you can apply to monetize. All right. And a couple of folks came by, like this Facebook Live. Remember, folks, anybody that checked out the Facebook Live, there is a higher quality video that gets uploaded to the YouTube mm-hmm. that we're shooting with a separate camera right next to it that records internally into the laptop. And the podcast audio is the exact same audio from that video. There's a lot going on when you're an independent content creator. All right. And you can keep this independent content creatoring alive at paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. I think I'm actually tired. I'm forgetting my sentences. It's be as safe as possible wherever you are.
Night job.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Facebook Live is off.
Oh, no.
And then I've got to turn off the YouTube internal video and all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff.
All right. And then podcast, Saja. I got to turn you off.
Yeah, you probably should do that.